In addition to inspecting the property, you must perform an analysis to determine its value. Now, when an appraiser determines the value of the property, the value is appraised as of a certain date. The value is not cast in stone. It's only a judgment by the appraiser of the value of that property as of a specified date. And even though an appraiser determines a single estimate of value, property market values always exist within a range. Because so many variables are involved in determining the value of a property, appraisers generally try to determine the value in three ways. While you probably won't use a professional appraiser in the purchase of every property, you do need to become familiar with the three methods that they use. As I describe the three methods, keep in mind that an appraiser always ignores any debt that may be on the property. In other words, an appraiser treats the property as if it were debt-free. This does not yield a complete analysis, though, for our purposes, as you'll see. Let's take a look at them in more detail. First, the market sales approach. Now, that determines the value of a property by considering the price that similar properties in the same or similar neighborhoods have sold for recently. For smaller properties, such as single-family and two-family, the market sales approach is the most accurate and reliable method of determining value. To perform a market sales approach, you must make certain that you're comparing apples to apples. That is to say, make certain that the properties you're using for comparison are in the same or very similar neighborhoods as the property you're analyzing. You should also find the approximate square footage of each property, as well as the age, the construction, for example, whether it's cement block, brick, or wood frame, the number of bedrooms, baths, and any extra amenities that the property has, such as a two-car garage, porch, den, central heat and air conditioning, or finished basement. The size of the lot can also add or detract from the value. You can also find all of the property's information necessary to make the needed comparisons in your targeted investment area by visiting my website, carltonsheets.com. There you'll be able to access online information about the properties you're investigating. To help you summarize and keep track of this information, I've included a market sales analysis form in the Real Estate Forms portfolio. I've also included an example of that form in this same chapter in my no-down payment manual. When you can, take a look at the form and become familiar with its various parts. The second method for calculating the value of a property is the reproduction cost approach, which is also called the replacement cost approach. The reproduction cost approach takes into account the current cost of building the same or very similar structure and the cost of land, less any wear and tear the property may show. Now, the first two factors are pretty objective, but the last one is not, and can somewhat distort the true value of the property. Costs of construction are estimated on a per square foot or per cubic foot basis. Usually, no attempt is made to estimate the actual cost of the construction materials. The easiest way for you to estimate the cost of construction is to refer to a cost manual, such as those produced by Marshall Swift and R.S. Means. These resources are available at major retail chain bookstores or the local library. To determine the value of the property, simply perform a reproduction cost approach, then add the price that other comparable lots are selling for. You can determine driveway and landscaping costs by contacting firms that specialize in these areas. By performing an analysis like this on several properties, you'll soon develop a very good perspective on building costs in your area. You can then make some comparisons with the information you develop using the market sales approach. Because of the difficulties in objectively determining a value for wear and tear, this appraisal method is the least reliable way of determining value, especially for older properties. The third method for calculating the value of a property used by appraisers is the net income approach. The net income approach is primarily used for evaluating larger income-producing properties, such as those with three units or more. It does not work as well when applied to houses and two-unit properties because they may be subject to too many emotional factors that can affect the prices in the marketplace. In simple terms, the net income approach says that the value of a property is a function of the net operating income, or net income as it's known, that it produces. The net operating income is the money that you would earn if you owned the property free and clear of any mortgage debt. Let me say it again. This is important. The net operating income is the money you would earn if you owned the property free and clear of any mortgage debt. If rent increases or expenses decrease, the net income goes up, and so does the value of the property. In short, the greater the net operating income, the higher the value of the property. No matter what the indicated market value of the property is, if it does not generate enough net income to pay the mortgage payments and generate some extra spendable cash, you shouldn't buy it. I think you can see that while appraisers use the net income approach to evaluating properties three units and more, an investor in a single-family home even will use this income approach in determining value. You can't pay more for a property, whether it's a single-family home or an apartment building, than the income will justify.